Chapter 18. I pull into the parking lot of Groupie Studios, far away near some overgrown bushes, and the three of us shuffle like weary warriors toward our goal. I look up at the giant clock I've been watching for the past 60 hours. We made it with a whopping 10 minutes to spare. Voom Voom kicks a can as we walk, and I step in front of him to give it a punt. And I don't know how. I lose my balance, I guess, and both my legs swing out from under me. I crash hard on my butt and my left palm, scraping the skin off. I'm bleeding. After all this, the escape and the cross-country drive and the life-threatening car chase, I hurt myself walking the last 100 yards to the studio. Jane looks down and laughs. Harlan said you were a klutz. I didn't believe him. A little help here? They lift me to my feet, and Voom Voom swats the pebbles from my palm, spits on it, then tears the lower part of one of his sleeves off and wraps it around my hand, kisses it like a mom would do. Jane drags us to keep moving. No time to waste. I have some questions to ask you, Pepper. Paper. Robin. Me too. Me first. Do you know who controls virtually all fuel needs for most countries on this little dirt ball we call Earth? Wasteway. My turn. Why did you leave us? Because I had a job to do. Why do you think we've never had a manned mission to Mars? I don't know. What kind of job is so important that you had to leave your husband and 3 daughters? The answer to both questions is Wasteway. I stop and turn to her. All right, can we stop with the riddles? She nods and takes a deep breath. Exhales. I was a refinery engineer for Wasteway. One day, I happened to be pregnant with you 3, by the way, I saw something I wasn't supposed to. A report about a compound containing an element. An element that's not even on the periodic table. Wasteway is covering up something. I know it. I shake my head. Really? So you walked off in your hospital gown? Listen, Paper. I had to be outside. Tried finding things out on the inside. Too risky. Not just for me. For Harlan and you girls. Oh, boy. I want to believe her. I do. Believe that Wasteway is up to something more than just garden variety greed. That it has some nefarious larger goal like taking over the world. Or Mars. Or both. It would make a great excuse. Something I could believe other than that my mother left us because she had a skull full of loose change. It would be nice to believe her conspiracy theory. But I don't. Jane, what would any of this have to do with Mars? The element. It's not from Earth. Has to be from Mars. It's the only place we've sent missions in the past 50 years. When I saw your faces for the first time, you and your sisters, I knew. I couldn't sit by, live my miserable life in Phil City 1, and give you the same miserable life. And give the same miserable life to untold numbers of people in the future, while Wasteway hid some terrible secret for who knows what terrible reasons. And have you found anything in 21 years? Anything? I expect another excuse, another conspiracy theory, or maybe for her to cackle again and say, voom, voom. But to my stunned surprise, she reaches into her pocket and pulls out a ratty old laminated sheet. Here. I look down at the numbers. It's a readout of something. Chemicals, I guess. Too much math to make much sense. I don't know. It looks like it could be a geological survey. She smacks her knee. Bingo! You are the smart one. She points to one of the lines. And what's missing? It was a guess. I'm not a geologist. Look at the second report down there. Now back up to the first one. What's missing? The bottom one has a line that says, anomalies none. The top one doesn't have that line. She grins. All reports have that line. Or at least they're all supposed to. This one doesn't. So? So someone deleted the line. This is a NASA geological survey, Pepper. And someone there is deleting evidence of some kind of anomaly. On a government survey. This stinks. Stinks of Wasteway. They're hiding something that's up there. They don't want us to know. Why do you think there's never been a manned mission? Poor Jean. It's a simple error, a printout glitch. She's chasing an innocent rabbit down a bottomless hole. I had given up, Pepper, honestly. Ask Voom Voom here. I thought that trip to Mars was my last long shot at finding the truth, and I raced up and down the coast buying those damned scarabs, but I never found a winner. She peers up to the stars. And then I got the message from Harlan. A miracle. She turns to me, and all the insanity in her eyes seems to disappear for a moment, and she puts her hands on my face and pulls it close to hers and whispers, I found the winner. You. You said you feel like you were meant to be out there. You are. And you said the folks back home are waiting for something. They are. It's all connected. You, me, them. I'm so terribly sorry I wasn't there for you, love. But we both have a job to do now. It's a piece of paper, Jean. 21 years and one piece of paper. Come on. Please. I'm just trying to win a trip to Mars. Bradline thinks I'm leading the fillers to some unseen destiny for crying out loud. And now you? With this? She sighs. Sometimes life asks more of us than we planned on giving. Then she hugs me, like I imagine a real mother might do when her daughter doesn't believe her. Forget I said that. You know what? It's all right. Believe in yourself, Pepper. Go have your adventure. Enjoy every second. Don't give my crazy theory any mind. But if anything does happen and you need me, I'll be right here. She reaches once more into her pocket, lifts out a small, thin rectangle, pulls open my satchel and tucks it deep inside. A stick of gum? It's your get-out-of-jail-free card. It just looks innocent, like a stick of gum. I made it myself. Of course you did. But I have no idea what you mean. Just hold on to it and don't show anyone. You'll know if you ever need it. By this time, we're at the fringes of the crowd, pushing our way to the front. Only 6 minutes remain on the giant clock. Closer to the gate, revelers are drinking and singing, awaiting the final countdown and the launch of the show they've been waiting months for. A scalper notices our little threesome. Maybe it was just that we were the only ones without red plastic cups in our hands, sloshing beer everywhere. Hey, kid, got something you want to sell? He flashes me a card with 2 million credits displayed on its face. 2 million. It would buy my mother all the help she needs, and Voom Voom a normal life many times over. I look back to her. She shakes her head and pushes me forward, her expression saying, "This is not for anyone else. This is yours." I turn back to the scalper. "I've got something, but not to sell." The crowd stops their party like a freeze dance. Someone turns off the radio. All faces turn to me as I push to the iron bars of the studio gate. I slide my hand through, shaking, holding the red scarab out to the production manager on the other side. His name tag says Ted. He bows dramatically. "Please press the head." I do, and the wing covers spring open one last time, and the wings unfurl, and Zach Larson speaks. And the crowd does nothing. They know, as I do from watching the feed, that counterfeiters have tried to fool the producers on at least a dozen occasions. Instead, they watch in silent, rapt attention as Ted drops my scarab into a mysterious-looking box. The next few seconds are endless. Then a green light on the top of the box lights up. It's a winner! This time the crowd erupts in cheers, raising me up on their shoulders, singing the drunken anthem they'd made up and sung for each winner over the weeks. There she goes to the show. Will she win? Heck if we know. But she'll give it her best, take a shot against the losers, the rest of that lot. Walk To the launch pad, aim for the stars. Don't close your eyes. You're going to Mars! I find myself singing with them, carried along not only on their shoulders, but their joy at the ridiculous yet somehow inspiring event unfolding before us all. I can't wait to get through the gate. I feel a tug at my t-shirt and look down. Voom voom. The throng puts me down and I kneel down in front of him. You take care of Jane. She needs you.
I know. I will.
And he hugs me, tighter than his little 7-year-old frame should be able to. And his body shudders. He's crying. I pull his face to mine and kiss him on the cheek. I'll be back soon. Now I'm crying. And then we'll go home. I don't know why I said that. There is really no way he would ever be coming back with me to Phil City One. And if his home is the Honda, which I don't doubt, well, he isn't going back to that home either. But I meant what I said, and it feels right. It feels like I'm telling the truth. I believe it. His eyes light up at the thought, and he grins wide and skips back to his mother, beaming, repeating, "Boom, boom!" Jane gives me a look that says, "Thanks for getting the kids' hopes up." But then she puckers up her lips and blows me a kiss. It's strange. I feel like I've been with this woman forever. This woman who calls herself my mother. That somehow the intervening years between the moment she fled and this moment have been filled with something. Not just emptiness. I feel like simultaneously running into her arms and running away from her as fast as I can. But I just catch her kiss in my hand and put it in my pocket. I'll save it for later. As I turn back to Ted, I'm beaming. One more chapter over. A new one beginning. I'm ready. Excited as hell. "Before we let you in, name."
"Paper."
My hand shoots over my mouth. "I don't need any papers, just your name."
"Robin Smith, Robin Smith, Robin Smith."
"Welcome, Robin Smith, Robin Smith, Robin Smith. DNA, please." I offer my hand, realizing it's wrapped in a bloody t-shirt sleeve, and offer the other instead. He pulls my index finger and scrapes it with a small gadget. "DNA, check. You are, in fact, Robin Smith." The gates open. Just enough for me to slip through and close again, and the crowd continues to cheer from the other side as I receive my spacesuit. I turn and wave, and their cheering grows even louder, and I think, wow, they really like me. But the cheering is strangely loud, a little too loud. To test a theory that's forming in my brain, I stop waving, and the cheering grows to a frenzy. No, they aren't cheering for me. They're cheering for something else. A white limousine stops right near the gate. I can't see through the horde of people, and scalpers are surrounding the car, but it becomes clear someone is approaching the gate, with a dramatic 5 seconds left on the clock. 5, the person shows the scarab. 4, the box lights up green. 3, I can't even hear the person say their name from all this screaming and clapping. 2, DNA test. 1, and the gate opens at the buzzer, declaring the end of the sweepstakes. To a crowd gone absolutely wild, all of them rushing towards me, and I get my first look at the 26th and final contestant on Your Going to Mars. Aurora. Wonderful. Last year's runner-up on America Sings, the impossibly perfect, ultra-competitive 20-something brat diva from Las Vegas, writer of the annoying mega-hit Baby's Gone, and latest singer with one name, is walking towards me, or rather stumbling. She's piss-drunk, swaying on her feet, reaching for anything to support her. The crowd lurches toward us. Right behind her, a line of security guards, barely keeping them at bay, and camera flashes blind us both, and I can already read tomorrow's headline. Aurora is going to Mars, and some random contestant looks on in disgust. They hand her a spacesuit, and for a moment she looks at it, as if it might be something useful to vomit in. But then she holds it up to the adoring masses. A spontaneous, drunken chorus of babies gone begins. She loses her balance with that little maneuver, and I have to prop her up. Thanks. Instead of saying you're welcome, I grunt. From a side door, the producers lead out the other 24 winners in a fairly well-choreographed photo op to the military-esque adventure movie soundtrack theme song and more cheers in a total camera blitz. I actually recognize some of their faces from the feed, and there are at least 5 or 6 celebrities in the bunch, looking more or less glamorous, even in their spacesuits. I keep an eye on Aurora. Every time she sways, I poke her back to balance. She's pathetic, but it would be embarrassing for her to fall over drunk in front of a billion people on television. Then she does. And as she goes down, she grabs my T-shirt and I go down with her, right on top of her, in fact, to the roars of laughter and cheers and jeers from nearly every person under 35 on the planet. She whispers, "Shit. Sorry. Get up. And if you throw up on me, I don't care if the entire galaxy is watching, I will hurt you." The producers rush over, trying to make it look like this was all planned and perfectly normal, and a spotlight shines on the studio door, and Zach Larson himself marches out, our generation's visionary and master showman, in his very own custom spacesuit, looks down at us trying to help the inebriated celebrity singer get to her feet, and a mischievous grin spreads across his face. Then he shouts into his microphone the words that will be the understatement of the millennium. "Let the show begin!"